first of all, let's look at the fact that Paul is speaking to a church, the church at Ephesus, okay? And sometimes it's something that I've, you know, been detached from the idea that, okay, well, this is speaking to me, right? So I need to apply some things. But think about the fact that he's writing a letter specifically to a church, which means that there is immaturity within the church. There are people that need to grow up, right? Because again, the Holy Spirit doesn't say anything without purpose. And when Paul is going through what he's going through, whether he was in prison or whether he's traveling the world or whatever he's going through, you know from his story that he wasn't just sitting on a pew writing letters. He was out there doing the job. And so for him to take a moment to write out a letter, it was very intentional. So let's look at the Amplified version of verse 13 there, Ashley. Keep going. Forward. Thank you. It is until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer. So Paul is talking about growing up to be an adult or a mature person spiritually, to becoming a full-grown adult, man or woman, spiritually speaking. So does God want us to grow? Yes, he does. It doesn't make sense for us to expect a six-month-old to stay 6 months old 2 years from now. There would be something wrong, right? Naturally, we're like, this is a problem. You know, a lot of times we see people who are still living at mom's house when they're 35. What's happening right now? You know, but they've never been asked to leave. They've never gotten a job. They've never done their thing. And we are all, as a culture, thinking, okay, you need to grow up. You need to become an adult because there's more to life than staying a child, right? Right? There's things that you cannot do as a child, but when you become an adult, you should be expected to be doing those things, right? So there's a close similarity to growing spiritually and growing physically. The Bible speaks of three stages, and we're going to look into those this morning. Babyhood, childhood, and manhood, or adulthood, okay? Today, we're going to study what these look like, and this will enable us to not only locate ourselves, but once we locate ourselves, then we can be settled in that. Be okay with that. Even if you find yourself in the babyhood stage, that's okay. But then you have something to look forward to. Where are we going from here? Okay? So first of all, babyhood. 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So just like physically, you're not full grown when you're first born, right? So you have a Christian, and look, this is something that a lot of us in here have heard before, but this message also can be an encouragement for us who have heard this before. I read a lot and studied for this, and some things were brought to my attention that I hadn't thought about in a while, okay? So physically, we should expect, obviously, but then spiritually, we should expect that when a person comes to Christ, hallelujah, that's a celebration day, right? When the baby comes home from the hospital. But we shouldn't expect that infant to go and start walking to the kitchen to make themselves a sandwich, right? They don't even know what food is. They just know they're hungry and they're crying out for somebody to feed them. So we need to identify that spiritually speaking, babies are in the very same boat. We in the church need to understand that babies in the Lord cannot do much for themselves, so we shouldn't be expecting them to. As I have a lot of conversations with folks who've been in the church for years. I'm like, well, why are you getting frustrated? They just got born again. Instead of getting frustrated, maybe you're the one that should be feeding them. Maybe you're the one that should be picking them up for church. Just saying. They're babies. They don't know what they need. So at the same time, we are responsible for them, church. We're responsible for them. Mom and dad are responsible for that baby, right? And if they want to go out on a date or maybe they have to go to work, then whoever is assigned to care for that child, that is their responsibility. We should not have the mentality that it's just the pastor's job to take care of all the babies in the church. No. We all have something to bring to the table, right? And my personality as a pastor may not necessarily match. I can definitely help. I can definitely stir them up and definitely teach. But maybe someone in the congregation has a more fitting, a more relatable story. And we can walk together and, hey, let's get together for coffee. Let's get together for a Bible study at my house over lunch, right? We want the babies to grow. We don't want them to stay babies, right? So let's look at a few attributes within babyhood. The first one is innocence. Innocence. So one of the first things that attracts us to a newborn baby is their innocence. Oh, he's so cute. He's so innocent, right? Like, I love watching the toddlers, the 1 and 2 year olds, where they're just so excited about what they discover and they want to come and tell you about it. It's like, oh my word, you know, it's blue outside. And it's just so adorable because it's so innocent. Well, guess what? When we first get born again, what does the Bible say? That old things have passed away and all things have become new. It doesn't matter what she was doing yesterday. You could have seen her out at 2 in the morning, dressed like you know what, but because she's broken and she knows no better, she comes to church, she gets born again, she's innocent, right? But we don't even have to go to that extreme. What if there's somebody that you know is just a chronic liar? Everything they say is a lie. As soon as they get born again, the Holy Spirit can help them and work that out of them, right? But we're not the ones that need to be sitting there waiting for them to get stuff together. We need to receive them as innocent, because that's what he says. I didn't say that. He said that. We have no past when we get born again. Aren't you glad? Amen. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So innocence belongs to the babyhood stage, but it's a characteristic that we should never, ever outgrow. Because otherwise, we'll fall into condemnation of the devil, and we will be defeated in spiritual life. Innocence is the beginning of where Christ meets us, right? We're washed clean. So now we need to stick with him, right? I had many, many young believers come to me and say, you know, it's just so frustrating. I can't hang out with my friends anymore. They think I'm weird, but I feel so lonely. And my encouragement then is to them, well, first of all, you cannot just get born again and then disappear. We need you here. Why? Because you're innocent. You don't know how to feed yourself yet. We want to teach you how to feed yourself. We also want to feed you so you don't become malnourished, right? But also you need to understand that it's almost like trying to put a size 6 on your 9 foot. It doesn't fit anymore. Those people who have not received Christ are still where they are. You are now a new creature. So trying to go back to them is like you just, it's like the square trying to fit in the circle hole, right? All those with toddlers, you know, those toys. You're trying to fit it in a hole that doesn't fit. It's not the same shape. So the innocence there, we can't outgrow that, because what the tendency is then is, well, you know what, I'll just drop the Christ thing and go back to what's familiar. Or even for some of us who have been in the church, who have been in Christ for a while, when things get tough, I don't know about you, but I've been tempted. You know what, forget this. All I do is what God wants me to do, and it doesn't seem like anything is happening for my benefit. Right? Why don't I just quit this whole thing and go do what I want to do, because I have a plan, right? And that innocence is, Daddy God, I love you, right? Just innocent, those little babies. So the devil wants us to stay defeated because he knows how powerful we are when we fully reach spiritual maturity. He doesn't want us to get there. So when new believers come to the Lord, they're full of faith, ready and willing to learn, And we should keep that teachable spirit. And that's another part of it, is not just going towards the world again and walking away from Christ, but also getting a little calloused, getting a little old in our thinking, in our heart that says, oh, I've heard that before. I don't need to hear that anymore. I know all there is to know about that subject. I've been in church for this long. I can't learn anything new. That is where we get away from our innocence as well. Just that wonder and awe of how good he is. Because, hey, I've been in Bible college, y'all. Okay? I've listened to Word of Faith preachers and the gospel since I was born. I've been hearing this. But as soon as I remove that attitude of I've heard this before, there's something new, something brand new, and go, whoa, wait a minute, that's incredible. All right, so when we get into that unteachable spirit, guess who can't help us? Nobody. Nobody can help us, and God can't even help us because we have a guard up that says, oh, I can't learn anything about that. So ignorance is another attribute to babyhood. We all know that infants have a lack of understanding for a lot, for everything, right? Especially when they're going around trying to put everything in their mouth. If that's one thing that wears me out, I'm like, for real? Right? They'll go for a screw. They'll go for a bug. They'll go for food. But they won't think anything differently between all of that. So as babies, spiritually, we need to be careful about what we put in our eyes, in our ears. As baby Christians, we haven't built up the knowledge and the understanding of what is in the Word of God, what is the essence of the Spirit of God, and the enemy knows how to put a little poison seasoning on a good old looking steak and serve it up. And sometimes what we tend to do, especially with social media now, when we have a lot of likes and a lot of shares and a lot of comments, we think, oh, wow, this is it. This is the message. This is the new thing, right? We got colorful people on Christian television. We've got brand new books on the shelf, all this stuff. And there's so much going on today with information that we can get confused, right? So as baby Christians, sometimes it is easy to just feed yourself with something that may not be true. And here's what we can do as being careful with that. We can say, you know what? I'm not sure about this. Okay. So always approaching it. See, this is something that we learned in Bible college as well, is don't just take what we say like a little baby bird, right? And I'm just going to drop the worm in there, right? Just going to drop the worm in there. I mean, at least you can say that the bird knows what she's doing and the babies just trust her, right? It's that trust factor that if we haven't tested the spirits, meaning we don't know anything about that minister, we don't know anything about that book or that author or whatever. This is just practical today, y'all. If we don't know anything about that person, we should not be that baby bird and just open them out. Well, my friend said, and they've been a Christian for 10 years. That's great. Is it scriptural? Right? That's wonderful. Is it biblical? Is it Holy Spirit led? Or is it flesh led? Is it emotional? Is it twisted a little bit? Is it 90% gospel and 10% human error? Because that's not the truth either. So what should we do? Anything that I've learned as a younger believer is I always ask questions. And there was somebody this week that just said, hey, I feel like I'm just asking way too many questions. No, you are not, because I would rather have you ask a million questions than have you swallow something and live your life, build your life around something that is not the truth. But guess what? As we grow in the things of God, we begin to identify. The more we spend time in the Word, we begin to hear the voice of God. We get to understand the heart of God. And then when we are out doing our thing and somebody comes to work and says, you need to read this book, right? Or they want to just debate. That's one of the greatest things, is I just want to debate. We might be of two different denominations. I just want to debate something with you right now. It's like right now, we got to talk about this. But the thing is it's not about dysfunction within the body and anything that tries to bring a break in the unity of Christ, you can understand for right off the top is that it's the enemy trying to bring confusion.